their numbers. 2. Stay calm if approached by ICE or other law enforcement. Do not run, argue, resist, or fight. 3. You have the right to remain silent. 4. You have the right to speak to a lawyer and don't sign anything until you discuss it with a lawyer. 5. If at home, you have the right to refuse entry unless presented with a judicial warrant signed by a judge. An ICE warrant does not allow entry into your home. 6. You have the right to an interpreter. WPFW, defending hard-won human rights, building a more just world, one broadcast at a time.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. I'm hearing all the voices right now. I am here. Am I on the air? Okay. All right, good. I'm hearing all the voices. I'm hearing everybody talk in the background, just to let you know. All right, because this is like a family chat on the air. We're having a family chat on the air. But everybody knows WPFW is a great big family. So, you know, long as we don't say the wrong thing, right? All right, there we go. My name is Garland Nixon. The name of the show is News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. Oh, my goodness. As you know, there's a lot going on. There's plenty to talk about. You know, I love and enjoy to talk about politics, so I'm going to have lots to talk about today. And very importantly, we are in a fun drive. So at a couple points during the show, I will stop. I want to thank everybody last week. I mean, people really came through last week to help keep WPFW on the air. You all, certainly the people who listen to this show, understand the importance of having a conversation that is not hindered by, you know, money from Walmart or money from Lockheed Martin. We don't get all that stuff. You're the ones who keep us on the air. And I really want to thank everybody last week for coming through. And I'm sure this week we're going to do very well. As you probably know, we have a number we got to hit, and we're going to hit that number. The number for you to call in is 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. Site WPFWFM.org. That's very simple. You can donate at WPFWFM.org. Just go there and there's a donate button, and that makes it easy for you. And of course, 202-588-9739. That's the number that you want to call. Thank everybody very much for supporting it. So let's talk. Here we are. You know, I think, and I've had people tell me this, because, you know, you have a lot of people who do radio, a lot of people who are in the political arena, shall we say, who have in this day and age, a particular party. You know what I mean? They're a Republican, they're a Democrat, they're this or that. And I'm not. I am a political analyst by trade. That's what I do for a living. I'm a political analyst, particularly geopolitical analyst. I specialize in international politics and international things, particularly from a historical perspective. But I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm very left-leaning, right? Left-leaning. The history of my politics comes from my dad was a longshoreman. He was a union guy. He was out there on the picket line, standing up for the hard-working working-class people with a hard hat on, getting up every day. That's where I come from. That's my history. But I don't let that blind me to the reality of politics in the United States today. And I've come, you know, I was a Democrat for most of my life, and then I became an independent. And I've come to the point, let me be blunt. I've come to the point that I really don't like either one of the parties, and I don't believe that there is a political party that acts in the best interest of the working class people. And I think we have to come together. And I, if I'm blunt, do black people have commonalities as a group that we need to address? Yes. Do women have commonalities as a group that they need to address? Yes. Do Native Americans have commonalities as a group that they need to address? Yes. However, I see politics through the lens of economic class, and here's what I gotta say. The rich folks all get together and look out for rich folks. Black rich folks, white rich, rich folks act as an economic class. And the black people and the white people and all the other groups need to get back, be together as working class people. The same way when I was a kid, when my dad was a longshoreman, the union got out there and marched to get the things they needed. There wasn't black folks and white folks in this on the line who were put. There was a bunch of union workers, whether it was the electrical union, whether it was the carpenters union, whether it was the longshoremen's union. They got out there as a union and they fought for the working class. And I'm a big believer that we need to stop a lot of the divisions when it comes to acting on behalf of working class interests. As long as rich folks is together working for their interests, we got to get together working for our interests. And that's something that I believe in. And that's the politics that I've come to believe in. They're culturally, sure, black folks need to work for black folks' interests. But from the particular politics, man, we got to get together with anybody. Any port in a storm, my friends, any port in a storm, that's the direction I go. So let me go on with what's happening now. You know what's interesting? And as you know, I berate the Democrats because I'm a former Democrat. I berate the Republicans. But what I find interesting is this, you know, an analogy, a historical, rhetorical statement that was made by Frederick Douglass is something that I've been using a lot lately. When Frederick Douglass said that he went in town and he saw, I'll never forget this, and he saw two slaves fighting and said, "What are the slaves fighting about?" And he found out it was two slaves fighting over whose master had the biggest house. And I just said to myself, you know, that is so poignant today. That is so salient today of the two of Democrats saying, yeah, Warren Buffett, why he's friends with Obama, George Soros, he's a left-wing billionaire, right? He's looking out for us. And then the Republicans now, they think the richest man in the world, old Doge boy Musk, they think he's their savior. That when I look at that, I'm just like, that's it. That's two slaves fighting over whose master's got the biggest house. The Republicans now, as much as I beat up on the Democrats, here's what I have to say about, I'll start this, with foreign policy. As you know, I say this about any politician. If they do something I agree with, I'm for it. If they do something I oppose, I'm against it. Donald Trump's foreign policy, I got no problem with it right now. If he gets a deal with peace, I think that's a great, and I will say great job in the war in Russia. I'm all for with Russia and Ukraine. You got me. Anytime you end a war, you're doing a good thing. And let me say something to the Democratic Party. Don't be idiots. Here's what I mean. You can never be the party of the people unless you're the party of war, because war is the enemy of the working class. There's an old saying about a bayonet. When a soldier is out there with a bayonet, you know what they say about a bayonet? There's a working class, a class person on either side of it. The one soldier's trying to stick somebody with a bayonet. The soldier that's trying to stick the guy with a bayonet is a working class guy. The guy he's trying to stick with the bayonet is a working class guy. You know why? Because rich folks don't go to war. Because rich folks stay home. Look at how many politicians do you see, Democrats and Republicans. Where were they when the war went on? Oh, well, during the Vietnam War, this guy got a deferment because he had a boil on his behind. He had a bad foot. He had a bad eye. He was in college. The rich folks don't go to war. They stay home and they send the working class people to war. So in order to be the party of the people, you must first be the party of peace. And when the Democrats became the party of war, that's when they lost the working class to the Republican Party. And if they don't become the party of peace, they have no chance of getting the working class back. And right now, that ain't the direction they want to go. That ain't looking good. So the Democrats are kind of screwed right now by their own hand, but we shall see. Now, let me talk about the Republicans for a second. It's something is interesting. Okay, so now Elon Musk, and this is interesting. This is very interesting to me. I want to evaluate a little bit of the whole MAGA movement and what's going on. So Trump does the I'm the working class billionaire, the blue class billionaire, they called him, right? And because there were a lot of working class people who had been left behind, you know, most everybody, I understand, because if you are a black person in America, right, there's an old saying, where you stand depends on where you sit. If you're a black person in America, the truth is you probably see lens through the, you probably evaluate politics through the lens of race. That's what we've been trained to do. Politics is all about race. Why did Donald Trump win? He won because there's a bunch of racists. Why did this person lose? They lost because of race. So as black folks, we are trained to view politics only through the lens of race. But when you start viewing politics through the lens of economics, you get a different view. Right? Through the lens of economics. If you look at the MAGA movement, a lot of working class people, a lot of poor people, angry at the system, upset with the system, along comes Trump and he gives them an out and they take an out, right? They're like, okay, the Democrats ain't saying nothing about it. Trump's running around. He's got a French fry uniform on one day. He's riding in a doggone trash truck. I mean, literally, he did that kind of symbolism. And what is Kamala Harris doing? She's hanging out with Beyonce and rich folks. It did not, well, and let's face it, over the last 4 years, the Democrats just haven't got it done. Okay, so Trump comes along and steals them. But an interesting factor happens. Does the whole blue class thing. And about 2 or 3 months before the election, in comes Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. And really, he kind of takes over, you might say, takes the steering wheel of the MAGA movement, right? So Elon Musk comes in, and I'll never forget this. I will never forget this. I'm watching the Trump inauguration. And, you know, I'm about money. I look at the money. And in the front row, I see $1.5 trillion sitting right there. It was about five people. I see Elon Musk. I see Jeff Bezos. I see, what's his name? Zuckerberg, I see Cook, the guy that runs Apple. I can keep going on. The guy Ashwani or whatever he's named, the richest guy in India. It's not just the richest tech men in the world are all sitting there right together. And I look at it and I'm like, that's the real board of directors. The United States is a corporation and I'm looking at the board of directors and you and me ain't on it. And Trump ain't even on the board of directors. And these people are making a decision as to what they're going to do things. And Trump comes in and a lot of policies, we see these policies change like we've never seen before. And some of the stuff, we've never seen this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, the board of directors made that decision. So as an example, I look and they're like, oh, they're getting rid of all of these employees, right? Federal employees, they're getting rid of them like crazy, firing all these of government employees, right? And I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, I know what that's about. I know what it's about. What is that about? This is simple. This is real simple. You look at the front row and what were they all? Technology people, right? What is it about? It's simple. It's about artificial intelligence. They are going to do what they're doing in the technology industry. What have you been hearing? Lately, what have you heard, right? Yes, 41% of all jobs are going to disappear. For what? Artificial intelligence. What's going to happen to cars? I know some buddies of mine that live in California, right? And they're like, you know what? This is weird. You come up to the corner, and you know what you see? Four different taxis. They got these taxis out in California with no drivers. They're AI. They're driverless cars. So now you don't need taxi drivers. Pretty soon, will you need trash truck drivers? Will you need school bus drivers? Will you need tractor trailer drivers? You're going to need none of them. They'll be run by artificial intelligence. They'll be run by driverless cars, right? 41%. You know what they're going to do with the federal government? They ain't, oh, we're saving money. The poor suckers that are libertarians and that are the MAGA movement that are like, yay, they're there to save us money. The richest man in the world is not there to save you money. That's not that he don't work for you. The billionaire, you think Tim Cook and all of these billionaires are there to save you money? The billionaires have always been in charge. Don't think they just got in charge, but this is a different group of billionaires now. I learned this long ago. I'm hearing background right now again. I'm hearing you're unmuted. Yeah, I can hear your voice. Yes. To wipe out a high percentage of the federal workforce, and they're going to replace them with artificial intelligence. Now, think about this. People are like, well, they're in the Social Security and the Treasury, all these things. They're not supposed to get in those things. But if they're going to replace all of that with artificial intelligence, they have to get into those things, don't they? If they're going to do all the government work with AI systems, they got to get in everything, don't they? Social Security, taxes, you name it. They get in all of it. And they will get in all of it. And don't for one second think that there's a judge on this earth that's going to say to the richest man in the world, you can't get in the Treasury. You're fooling yourself. The richest man in the world can get in anything he wants, and so can all of the rest of them. If Tim Cook from Apple or if Bezos walks into the Treasury tomorrow, thank you. Trust me when I tell you this, they can walk straight into Treasury and do anything. Fort Knox, any of them. The rules are for you. Those rules aren't for those billionaires. They run a system. That's the board of directors. The United States is their corporation, and they are the board of directors of this corporation, and they make the rules. There ain't no rules for them. The rules are for you. There is an appearance of rules. And right now, they're simply doing what they got to do to make the changes. And I'll say this, foreign policy. I've told y'all before, if you've been listening to this show, you heard me say months ago when they were like, the Russians are doing this and Putin. And I said, let me tell you something. When they're done with this, in the same way that Putin was the most evil guy and the Russians were terrible, they'll wake up one day when they're ready to make an oil deal with the Russians, they're ready to make a gas deal with the Russians, and you'll come on TV, Putin's the nicest guy and the Russians are wonderful. They will switch. It's bin Laden one day. ISIS is going to get you, Putin. And when they get finished cashing that machine out, $300-400 billion they made out of the Ukraine war, they'll turn that one off and they'll turn the ATM on somewhere else. And you know the sad thing? Here's the sad thing about Americans. When they get finished convincing us that the Russians and Putin were bad, and they get their money deals with the Russians and Putin, and then they come on TV and tell us the Russians and Putin are good, and they come up with the next boogeyman, who is it? The North Koreans. Now, they'll probably get a deal with them. I don't know. It don't matter. They could say it's the penguins in Antarctica. Hey, you know, America, we've got to stand up against the penguins in Antarctica. They're out to get us. And you know what Americans will do? They will be mad at the penguins in Antarctica. The next boogeyman they give us, we'll buy it. That's a sad state of affairs in America, that no matter how many times they lie to us about a war, no matter how many times they lie to us about foreign policy, they know one thing for sure. We will always believe the next lie. Well, I ain't. Okay. And sadly, the libertarians and the MAGA people are cheering. Yes, they're getting rid of all of these federal employees. That's going to save us money. No, they ain't going to save you money. Here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you this. When they replace that all with artificial intelligence, who do you think is going to get the contracts? Jeff Bezos, Tim Cook and Apple, Elon Musk, the same people that was sitting in the front row of the inauguration will get the contracts to run the AI, to run the government, and they'll make the money. And whatever money they, quote, saved you by getting rid of all these federal employees, the contracts that they'll get will be five times as much. Because let's face it, let me just say this before I go on. Let me say one thing. Think about this. The U.S. government can literally print money. That's what the Federal Reserve does. When they want another $1 billion for the military, what do? Another $100 billion, what do? They go to the Federal Reserve and they print it. They just print it. They just make it out of nowhere. So they can print $100 billion, $800 billion out of nowhere anytime they want for the military, but they're going to tell you they got to save $3 billion on federal employee. You know what that would be like? Let's just say Garland Nixon can print his own money. I can print my own money, right? And I want a boat and a new truck and everything for fishing. And I just go print the money and say, there you go. I just printed $250,000. I got a new boat. I got a new truck, a fishing gear, $250,000 rig that you will never believe, right? Meanwhile, the wife comes over and says, Mr. Nixon, little Joey, little Garland Jr. wants to go to college and he's sick. He needs an operation on his foot. And I say to you, where am I going to get it from? Oh, I can't afford it. Now, I just printed $250,000 for a boat and a truck that I wanted. But when my son comes over and says he's got to go to school, I say, where's the money going to come from? The same place it came from for that. I can print my own money. So when the government tells you they can print $1 trillion for the war budget, and then soon as we say something about federal employees or Medicaid or something for the average person out here, college, they say, where's it going to come from? It could come from the same place that it came from for the war budget. They can just print it, but they won't, because you ain't part of the team. And now we got the MAGA and the libertarian people, suckers, thinking that that Elon Musk is doing something to make their lives better, to bring them. To me, he's just as bad as the Democrats who drag their people from war to war. We've got to do a genocide over here because these Palestinians are in the way and they must be killed. We got to go over here and fight Russia because something's going on their border with Ukraine. And we just buy into war after war after war with the Democrats. And now these suckers, let me tell you what, when they get finished laying off the federal employees, MAGA and libertarian people, they're coming for your jobs next. They're going to come to you, and you drive a truck or whatever you do, guess what's going to happen? You ain't going to have a job, because the artificial intelligence is coming, and you'll be cheering for laying off federal employees, and they're coming for you next. So I'm glad I'm not a Democrat. I'm going to get screwed just like everybody else. But because I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican, I can at least say I never cheered it on. I just saw it coming and sat back there and dealt with it. All right. Well, before I go, let me say this. It's 6:20. We got a couple callers. But before we go to the callers, this is critical. And that is, we are in fund drive. You listen to WPFW 89.3 FM. And what's important is that this is an unfunded station, shall we say. We don't get money from Lockheed Martin. We don't get money from Walmart. We don't get money from none of those rich folks. If we did, I couldn't say these things. If we got money from the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, if we got money from Amazon, Washington Post, whatever, I couldn't say these things. I'm telling you, week after week, I say you're being had, you're being took, you're being hoodwinked. I couldn't say that if the people that were hoodwinking you were paying us. They're not. The only reason we're able to stay on the air is because wonderful people like you, every week when we're in Fund Drive, call in at 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. We can stay on the air and I can talk this craziness because you're helping us out. We have a number that we need to get to tonight, and I hope everybody, I have confidence that you all are going to call 202-588-9739. And I'll say this, and this is important, you know, and I say this every week, but it really means a lot. And there's a lot of people out here who got a lot of money. There's people struggling, people getting laid off, all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of people out there listening to the show right now that can afford it. There's people right now that could write a check for $5,000, $10,000, $1,200, whatever, wouldn't even know it's gone. Those who can do that, I asked you to call at 202-588-9739 and to support the radio station and to support those who are struggling right now, who are getting laid off, who don't know how they're going to make it, but they want to listen to WPFW. They deserve the programming, the great music, and the great discussions that we have here, unhindered by money from the billionaires. 202-588-9739. Call now, please help keep us on the air. Let's go to the phones. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany, man. Can you hear me okay?
Not hearing Rick. Are you there, Rick?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now? First of all, I'd like to remember Malcolm X, not only his passing, but also the great state of Nebraska, where he was from. I think he was born in Nebraska. I would like to remember his birth and not just his passing. You talk about you don't take money from the rich, but I think you have to call on the rich at this time. There are liberals who would donate to PFW, but I think you just haven't put the word out that they should donate. What do you say to that?
Well, what I say is this, you know, I do my show and I say the things that I believe. I hope there's some people that enjoy a different and unique perspective. These are just the things that I believe. And you know what? I'll be honest, Rick. You know, that last week, people came through and really helped us out, and I really appreciate it. So we have a lot of people who really appreciate this show and donate. And, you know, I don't really know who they are. I don't ask them, you know, their particular ideological bend, but I think people understand. And it's, I don't say the rich per se. I say the corporations, the military industrial complex, the machine, man. There's a lot of people that are wealthy that are doing quite well who, you know, realistically are not part of that machine. So just because you're doing well financially doesn't mean you're some kind of an evil person by any stretch of the imagination. But there are the machine, you know, the Lockheed Martins, the big corporate power that really runs this country. What do you think, Rick?
I think you have a number of black billionaires beyond Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry. I believe Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry are not true billionaires, but they are pushed in our face as celebrity people to take the heat off of those billionaires who want to hide from the public and the public spotlight. But there are billionaires who are liberal, and I think if you put the squeeze on them, it would take the pressure off of the poor and the low income. I'm done, brother, man.
Thank you very much, Rick. I certainly appreciate the call. All right, next caller. You're in the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, no. We lost somebody.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. What's happening, next caller?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah. So what we have in our government is what's known as a plutocracy, a government run by the wealthy. An elite group of individuals whose power derives from their wealth that govern. Now, the reason you're on here and you're saying, oh, my God, $850 billion here, blah, 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 blah. Okay, why did that happen? Because the government investigates itself, it trials itself, it juries itself, it acquits itself, it pardons itself, and it prints its own money straight from the Federal Reserve. There's nobody overseeing the institution but themselves, okay? Now, an example of that is, on a smaller scale, if people remember, it parallels to this, was the movie Serpico, where he went from precinct to precinct to precinct, and he said, well, with all due respect, Captain, I don't see how the department can investigate itself. So he had to go to an outside source with an independent counsel to get to the root of it. That's kind of what we have here. I'm not taking Trump's side. I'm just saying it parallels to that. A few of my friends said, yes, it does. On a smaller scale was that. This is on a larger scale, because they're overseeing themselves. And that's a recipe for disaster when you have no oversight. Who oversees the government? The Government Accountability Office. Well, gee, is anybody surprised what's going on? Why they have a direct pipeline to the Federal Reserve, which, in fact, by parabolic biblical debt, is destroying the currency. The currency is dying, which is making it harder and harder for people to live. So this is what's going on when you have an institution that is condoning its own behavior with no oversight. That's what's going on.
Let me ask you a question, because there are a lot of things that you say that I agree with. Now, but let me ask you a question. Do you believe that that Elon Musk is, an outside force that is inside, you know, evaluating what's going on and researching what's going on? Or do you think that there's more to it than that? Take it into account. He is the richest man in the world, of course, that we know of.
I think that in this situation, you have Trump, who is a private sector guy, Elon, who's a private sector individual, is coming in and doing this. If it's legitimate, then it's legitimate. Okay, so if Trump or any president, but it just happened to be Trump in this instance, who has the power to do this? Well, apparently only the president does, that has the power to go in here and do this and root out this stuff. I wish Clinton would have done it. I wish this president would have done it. You know, they have, but not to this extent. But again, this parallels the movie Serpico. I know, you know, I'm not trying to sound, but he had to go to an outside source. He went to the New York Times, and they said, look, I'm not going to have an internal investigation. I want an independent investigation to root this out. And that's what happened. And
Let me throw a question like at you, and I think what you're saying is important, but a question at you, because there's some areas I disagree. Let me throw this at you. You know, I believe that there are various factions of the ruling elite, right? You got the people who are into gas and mining and things like that. The people are into oil and fossil fuels, and that's a faction of the ruling elite. They may be ExxonMobil, they may be mining uranium. Okay, you've got a faction of the ruling elite that's, they call it FIRE, right? Finance, insurance, and real estate. That would be the people on Wall Street, the people that are doing all the money tangling, the Black Rocks of the world, okay? And then you've got another, which is Silicon Valley. You've got the tech bros, as I call them, right? So historically, various factions of the ruling elite will battle it out for power. And we see that. You can go back to feudalism, back to jolly old England, various noble families of nobility, true, right? So factions, true, of the ruling elite will battle for power. And let's say the military-industrial complex and their group will be in power. For instance, when George W. Bush was in power, he was a Texas guy. That when they went to all of these wars in the Middle East, why? Because they were a bunch of oil guys. That was what faction of the ruling elite was in power. Now we have a faction of the ruling elite, which is the tech faction, the Silicon Valley. And all of them was sitting right up front. They were all $1.5 trillion, and it wasn't but six guys sitting there up front. So it's a different faction of the ruling elite. So I'm just going to throw that at you. So my opinion is, it's not that outsiders have come in to evaluate. It's a different faction of the ruling elite that has a different agenda. What do you think of that?
Okay, that's a good point. But remember, my father used to say, a bird can't fly on one wing no matter what. So what you're talking about is a two-tier feudal system on a biblical scale. The ruling class, the 1 and 2 percenters, and over here, a dump with peasants in the street. I don't believe that a functioning society can sustain that. No way.
I agree.
A plane cannot fly on one wing. I don't care. You'll have rebellion in the streets. You'll have, as to say, old England. I don't believe.
Look, you'll have some guy named Luigi. You'll have Luigi. That's what you'll have. That's the direction,
right,
we're going in, brother.
You'll have a rebellion. Right. I think that no matter what, you have to bring that other wing up, because you'll have peasants everywhere. It's not.
That's,
you know,
the direction we're going in. Have you looked at the numbers recently? Was like 60% of America don't even have like $400 for an emergency, right? So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I got to run. We got other callers. But, this is a great conversation. I really appreciate the call. And I appreciate that we have these kind of intellectual conversations and these kind of ideological conversations on this show. That's why I like doing the show, because we got a lot of smart people. And even though we don't always agree on things, the foundation of the callers on the show, they really know what they're talking about. So thank you very much. I appreciate that call. The number is 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. That's the number. We are in Fund Drive, and that's the number to call to donate. Thank you very much. Call in now and donate. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Mike from D.C., brother.
Oh, man. Brother Mike, what's that? Man, you know, Mike, like I say, you and I always, we have some areas we disagree, but I think, I'll say this, Mike, I think you figured out that we've been schnookered. We align with a lot of things. What's happening, Brother Mike?
Hey, yeah, let me ask you this. Have you heard about that 5,000 stimulus check that Trump talking about coming out with?
Yep. Yeah, what they're saying is this. They're saying that they're going to save us all the money in the government from finding all this waste, fraud, and abuse, and they're going to send us $5,000. Yeah, we've been down that bit line before. I don't buy it. Look, if they send us five, they'll steal 10. That's my opinion. They'll steal 15.
Well, I look at it
for themselves.
Well, I look at it this way, brother. That you got people that can use that money right now, especially people
that are getting ready to get set
out in the streets. And they're not gonna put up with the politics things of it. They're gonna be happy to get that. So I think that's a good thing, because if they find all that fraud and stuff, they're gonna put some money back. They should put a little bit more than that, to be frank honest. But at least that's gonna help some people that's getting ready to get set out in the street, and that's funds that they can use. Now the one thing that's keep irritating me like hell is that I was listening on C-SPAN today. And it was this black female. I'm not going to call her out. I'm not going to call her name out. I don't do stuff like that. But she was saying something that really was testing me off. Still attacking black people who were voting for Donald Trump and keep calling it misinformation and disinformation. To me, when you say stuff like that, you're calling the black community stupid. Like, they don't have enough common sense to figure things out on their own. And the only thing that's doing, that's dividing the black community at a time where we should not be divided. Now, just because if you worship the Democrat Party, more power to you. You can't force people to vote for your party because you're worshiping them. Now, you might be getting a lot of money from the donor class and stuff like that, and, you know, putting money in your pockets, more power to you. But you can't force other people to vote for your party because you happen to worship the Democratic Party. It is up to that elected official to get out there and make the case to the public to get them to vote for you. You did an example like that with Donald Trump. Just Trump, even though we know that was all for show, he came across as a regular guy. He came across, in a trash trunk, in the restaurants and stuff like that, instead of always being about one of the elites. He was able to sell that. But there was a lot of reason why people decided to vote for Trump, you know, instead of the back Democrats, because Democrats, you know, was not focusing on other issues that they should have been focusing on. Well, the main issue was
Mike,
basically LGBTQ.
You know,
let me
throw this at you, too.
Go ahead.
And, you know, mm-hmm. look. You know, if I'm on a football team and we lose, mm-hmm. right? So we're losing a bunch of games. I can blame mm-hmm. the refs. I can blame the guys who made the shoes. I can blame the fans. Maybe if they cheered a little bit louder, we'd have won. But the only way to improve my team is to evaluate the team. What are we doing wrong? Do we need better coaching? Do we need better plays? Do we need to do something different? And the Democratic Party is blaming the fans. They lost and they blaming the fans. Well, if they'd have just cheered a little louder, we'd have won.
They blaming black men more. They blaming black men more for the loss, though. And I got a problem with that.
Yeah, let me put it to you. The one thing I haven't heard the Democrats do is talk about the way they governed for the last 4 years. Why did I keep hearing people say this? Man, they can send all this money over to Ukraine. They can send all this money over to Israel, but there ain't nothing for us. You spent all your money on war and you committed a genocide. There's a lot of people that won't vote for you when things like that happen, but they can't look in the mirror and say, we, by our own fault, did things that caused the voters not to vote for us, which means they're spiraling even lower. If they keep going into the midterms and Donald Trump ends a war, he literally ends a war, which is going to be a popular thing, and sends people $5,000 checks. If he does that, they will get pummeled in the midterms unless they wake up. And right now, I don't see him waking up. And I mean,
no,
I'm
not
going to
wake
up. This is not a pro-Trump thing. This is evaluating politics for reality. And they can't seem to live in reality and say, we have made some mistakes. We need to do things differently. The voters are at fault. The Twitter's, everybody's at fault, except we did some things wrong, and it's our job to attract the voters, not the voters' duty to vote for us. That is pure arrogance, and they're heading for even further downfall if they don't wake up, and they don't look to be waking up, Mike.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you say, but I still got a problem when I'm hearing our own people. I'm not worrying about the Democrats. They're going to do their own thing, but it's really frustrating that you got black people attacking their own people because they're not voting for the party who they worship. I got a problem with that because that again is divided.
We're brainwashed.
The black community.
Our folks are brainwashed.
At an era where we cannot be, that we should be divided now. Now, I keep saying right now, this is a golden opportunity for a third party right now. Because I know I'm not voting for the Democrat, and I know a lot of people that's telling me that. And this opens up the door for either a third party. Personally, I feel that it's time for the black community to form our own black political party. We have been down this route of always partnering with other people, and it never really works out. And I know you and I disagree on that because we're not going to agree on everything.
But at least we agree we need more parties. We are agreeing that the current parties that we have, we are in agreement. We are agreeing that the current parties we have are nothing but puppets for the billionaires. The current parties that we have do not in any way reflect the needs or address the needs of the working class people, black, white, green, gray, or grizzly. And if we don't go in another direction, if you do what you always done, you'll get what you always got.
Well, I know finally, if they're going to do all this thing about AI and AI, they're going to have to find a way to replace that job, or they're going to have no choice but to do a basic universal income.
Well, that's what's
because
coming.
If they don't
universal
do that and people
coming.
Don't have chances for resources, you know what they're going to do? the crime rate is going to rocket it because people are going to go.
They're going to do
what they have to do to survive. So they're going to have to do something. They're going to cut all those jobs out. So that's what I got.
All right, that's coming. After I think if I got another call after that, I will give you my great conspiracy theory on the universal basic income. You're going to love this. Do we have one more caller? You got any more callers? Let's go to the next caller. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? Max.
What's happening, my friend? Thanks for calling.
I guess I'm gonna enter your arena today, but we're gonna see where this goes. So from my interpretation of what's about to happen in Ukraine, I mean, I guess you could call it ending a war. I just really look at it as peacefully surrendering, basically just saying, here you go, you know, the Ukraine's all yours, gobble them
up. Let me ask you this, Max. Let me ask you a question, though. I mean, if we're honest.
Yeah.
Russia's 26 and a half times the size of Ukraine. I mean, Russia defeated the Napoleon. Russia defeated 80% of the German army. It would be insane to think that the Ukrainian army, what kind of a lunatic would think they would even have a chance? Ukraine is going to be completely destroyed by the Russian army. How are you helping Ukraine if you allow them to get destroyed in a military match that they have no prayer of winning? Don't you think if you want to befriend them that you should find a way to get a diplomatic resolution, Max?
So, I mean, I definitely do agree with you that there needs to be a better solution, but just based on Putin and what it seems like he wants, it just seems like he wants Ukraine to be subservient. I would say similar to how I think the Republican Party want the proletariat to be subservient to the elite.
History doesn't point to that. That's not what history points to.
Why did Ukraine revolt?
You keep leaving something out, though. You keep leaving something out. And I'll throw this at you. If Russia overthrew the government of Mexico and started building military bases in Mexico and arming the Mexicans, the United States would go to war with Russia. What makes you think that the United States can overthrow the government of Ukraine, insert their own government, start building military bases in Ukraine, and the Russians ain't going to do the same thing that we would do? If I were the head of Russia, forget Putin, I'd have blew the crap out of the Ukraine. I'd have done exactly the same thing. And so would you, Max.
I mean, I don't know. From my interpretation, it seems a little bit more complicated because it seems like when we go back, like, you know, because when this all started in the Euromaidan, it seems like a lot of Ukrainians who voted for Yanukovych ended up being extremely unhappy when he foregoed to have just simply closer economic ties to European countries. It seems like a lot of people in Ukraine didn't want, a lot of people in Ukraine are ethnic Russians, right? But a lot of people in Ukraine also didn't want to continue to have closer economic ties to Russia, and they didn't want pro-Russian parties like the Party of Regions, who Russian oligarchs were supporting.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it that the United States was instrumental in overthrowing the government of Ukraine? Why is it that the United States ambassador literally named the new government in Ukraine 2 weeks before the government was gone? The United States admitted to spending $5 billion. I'll put it like this. It's not even a discussion. The United States overthrew the government of Ukraine. That's not even a discussion.
Are you talking about 2014? Are you talking about 2014?
Well, the first one was the Orange Revolution in 2005. The United States, and let me add this. In 2008, in Bucharest, mm-hmm. Vladimir Putin gave a speech and he said, look, if you come to Ukraine, it's going to be war. He made it clear. The former head of the CIA sent a famous cable, and the name of the cable was Nyet Means Nyet. And what he said was, if we go into Ukraine and mess around in Ukraine, it's going to be war. Everybody knew. The Russians were clear. Don't mess around in Ukraine. Napoleon attacked us through Ukraine. Hitler attacked us through Ukraine. If you come into Ukraine, it's going to be war. Everybody knew it was going to be war. We went in Ukraine, obviously we wanted war, and now we got what we asked for, and Ukraine is going to get flattened, and it has gotten flattened, and now it is what it is. But anyway, I got to go, I got other callers, and you get the last word, Max.
I guess only to respond to that, I think if we really wanted to take over Russia, we would just put U.S. troops on the ground. We wouldn't arm a second army because our army could crush Russia's army. And then I would also say,
you think our army could crush Russia's army? How'd that work out for
America's
Nazis?
Army?
How'd that work out for Napoleon? Everybody always thinks they can crush Russia's army until they go up against Russia's army.
But that wasn't really what I was getting at, though. I just think if we really wanted to take down Russia, it would be our troops. But I just know that for the Euromaidan, it was roughly 1 million people that came out for that. Yeah, I can agree some of them could be paramilitary Nazis, but not the vast majority, maybe like 10%.
Well, I'm not much
of
support Nazis, brother, so it only takes one or two. Anyway, we got to get ready to go. We're in a fun drive. Thanks a lot, Max. All right, let me continue. This is critical. And see, that's the thing. Let me throw this real quick before we go. Americans are so frighteningly uninformed about foreign policy. Americans are so frighteningly uninformed. There's an old saying in America, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. So Americans are just, that's what you did. Anyway, let me get back to this. And this is critical. This is very, very important. We are in fund drive. And look, I disagreed with some of our callers, but this is a station and this is a show where I believe that the most important thing to do is to engage with people you disagree with. The worst possible thing we can do is sit around with a bunch of people we agree with telling each other how right we are. You cannot grow. You have to make yourself uncomfortable. Why do I go to the gym? Because it's uncomfortable in the gym. And when I make myself uncomfortable, what happens? I get stronger. Mentally and emotionally, you must talk to people you disagree with because it's uncomfortable to talk to people you disagree with. And when you get uncomfortable, you grow. That's what this show is about. And I'm so happy that I have a show that every week I have callers that call and disagree with me and we like each other. And disagree with me, and we say, thanks for calling. Hey, look forward to you. It's a great part of the show. I got one of my best buddies that's fishing with. He's a diehard Trump supporter. I don't agree with him on anything. I'm a lefty, but we're the best of friends. And I'm very comfortable. So we get divided over ideology. We get divided over race in this show. And WPFW often, most of these shows give you an opportunity to be part of a community where people can have a conversation when they disagree. The number is 202-588-9739. And let me remind you this. We are in Fund Drive. And in order to keep this kind of conversation, in order to keep this kind of show on the air, it's very expensive. I mean, this is a 50,000-watt station in the nation's capital. Ain't nothing cheap, right? We got people we got to pay. We got to keep the lights on. We got this transmitter. It's very, very expensive, and it's very difficult. And might I add, we got a lot of people that are volunteers that aren't even getting paid, so it's difficult. But somehow we pull it off. And the only way we can pull it off is if people like you dial 202-588-9739. We got a number we're trying to hit right now. And, you know, we're working towards it. We're not there. But we got a number we're trying to hit. And hopefully we'll get lots of callers. I believe that we'll get callers who appreciate this kind of conversation. 202-588-9739. And don't forget, we've got something called the Sustainers Program, where we do what's called in the business world RMR, recurring monthly revenue. That's what your cell phone company works off of, right? The RMR, recurring monthly revenue. They want you to pay monthly, but it's very important because even if you do say $20 a month, while that ain't a lot to you, that $20 a month is recurring revenue that helps the WPFW pay its bills every month. So you might not have a lot of money, but maybe you can do $20 a month, 202-588-9739. And for those out there who are listening, who have the economic wherewithal, you can give $100, $200, $500, $1,000, and you'll never even miss it. Please call in now. Stand up for those who are struggling and those who don't have it. 202-588-9739. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate everybody. All right. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is T-Bird or T-Berry, and I'm calling from Upper Marlboro. How you doing?
Talk to me. Hey, T-Bird, what's happening, man?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still high-flying and loose, so I guess I'll use the moniker T-Bird right now. Listen, I have to agree with you. WPFW has educated me, and I think that one thing everybody needs to realize is that we have a media that, other than PFW and even to some extent, PBS stations and so-called liberal stations, that they're out to brainwash us. Right now, for example, when I listen to the news, I hear that 130 dead Palestinians have died in the last 35 days, and that 600-something have been injured. And yet they still use the word ceasefire. Is there anybody who's going to agree with that? I wonder. When I heard the first thing about this war, I heard that these were horrible people. They came out and they just killed Israelis for no reason. Not that they were enclosed in a prison camp, that they controlled their water, their food, their fishing, their farming, everything else controlled by Israel, and they were brutalized in an apartheid way. PFW and people on PFW taught me different. And I'm very thankful for that, and I hope everybody joins WPFW so that everybody can learn from that. Another thing that I heard you say tonight, possibly I disagree with, I think the billionaires, some of them vote, some of them give money to both parties. I think there's only one party, and that's the party of the oligarchs. They're to increase their thing. Trump's role is just like Reagan's. He's an actor who's out to make people fight anything but the billionaires. And I hope that changes, but I'm unless PFW gets, as somebody else said, some very liberal billionaires on its side, I don't think there's much chance of that. But I also am very optimistic. I think that there are technical things going on which cause China to put one American company into AI back on its foot. I think something similar is happening in Africa with regards to energy and something called the Microsonic machine. Although we got to see more evidence because I've been brainwashed to be skeptical of anything that comes out of Africa too. But I think the world may be changing, and I hope that they're not saying that there's too many poor people in the world and they're not going out to get everybody comfortable, because some people believe by virtue of their skin color that they'll be taken care of. That won't happen. So I hope all get together, and I hope we all do the best we can.
Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate it. Do we have any more callers? Can't see. No. Oh, all right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. We only got a few more minutes. So look, let me tell you, this is critical. We're down to the end of our show. But as you know, I'm not an ideological person. I mean, I have my ideology, but I'll put it like this. When it comes to political, like I said, I'm fair. I hate all parties equally. As Jimmy Johnson said, when he used to be a Cowboys fan, as you know, I'm a big Commanders fan, but they asked him about, was he fair? He said, yeah, I'm fair. I treat everybody differently. And what happened was, there had been one of his players had fell asleep in a meeting, and he cut him immediately. And the guy got cut, and they said, hey, you know, the guy was just like a special teams player. Hey, well, what would you have done? What would you have done if Emmett Smith fell asleep in a meeting? He said, I'd wake him up. And he says, I'm fair. I treat everybody differently. Well, that was the truth. Emmett Smith was putting people in the seats and winning games. They weren't going to cut him. They cut Jimmy Johnson before they cut. But that was a reality check for people, right? Like everybody gets treated the same. Sorry, that's not the real world. And don't fool yourself into thinking it is. Anyway, let me get back into the important stuff here. We're down to our last few minutes. And it is critical that people understand that WPFW is a great resource. I mean, it's a resource that could be lost. And you know the old saying, you never know what you got till it's gone. What was that? Ray Parker Jr. or something? I don't remember. But you never know what you got till it's gone, right? And WPFW don't need to be gone. And if people don't help us on the air, one day they'll be saying, remember WPFW? I'm looking, I can't see. It's not farther over in front, far enough over in front of the camera. But the bottom line is, we're just about, bottom line, let me close down. We're just about at the end of this show. So please, 202. Oh, there we go. We got to thank some people. We're going to thank Steve from Maryland, Craig from Maryland, and Anonymous from Washington, D.C. There you go. We're struggling here. But yes, Steve from Maryland and Anonymous. What that? Okay. Fantastic. And we've made gold. So I want to thank everybody. But we still need a few more dollars. So here's what we need to do. Anything you can do to help keep us on the air, let me give you the number one last time. 202. 9739. This is 2 weeks in a row we've hit gold. Now we want to go over gold. Now we want to double gold because, it's, you know, some shows might not hit gold. Sometimes it's late at night and people don't have money and what have you. So we got to make this thing work. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate the hard work that everybody does, the volunteers to keep this on the show and Kalia and everybody else. And there's just so many people putting in so much to struggle with the hurdles that we have to do to keep WPFW going and to pay the bills. 202-588-9739. Thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with me, at Garland N on Telegram, Garland.Nixon on Instagram, Garland Nixon on Facebook, and my email address is my first name and the first letter of my last name. That's Garland and then the letter N, GarlandN@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Kalia. Fantastic job as always. Peace. I'm out.
Every time that you open up, you know that I can't get close enough. See, everything gets so damn mixed up, and I can't get nothing to add up. See, all I want is a little trust. Yeah, yeah. That it's more than enough for you.
I don't even know what to think anymore. Can you show me, And I can't even tell anymore if you're coming or going, Yeah.
Every time
even tell anymore if you're coming or going.
Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues,